Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of St. John, the most beloved John, chapter 16, starting with the 7th verse. Immediately after the message today, we'll be praying for believers to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have been commanded by the Lord to do this, and we are expecting hundreds to be instantly, gloriously filled. The only requirement is to be saved by the blood of Jesus. You, as a Christian, need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. St. John chapter 16, verse 7, and the scripture says, "Nevertheless, in the words of Jesus, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he," notice he keeps using the pronoun he, "the Holy Spirit is not a derivative from God, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Godhead. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And I want to use for a subject this afternoon the work of the Holy Spirit on behalf of the church. Now, anyone would know that we can only scratch, touch the surface of this vast subject. The work of the Spirit of God on behalf of the church of the living God. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I ask as I minister today that you will help me to preach. I marvel that you would allow frail flesh to break the bread of life. I would ask for the holy anointing. I would ask that my tongue become as the pen of a ready writer. I would ask that you would give me a mouth. I would ask that we always decrease as you always increase. And I ask also, my Heavenly Father, for bodily strength. And we would ask for an outpouring of thy Spirit in the name of the Holy Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. I have always had a hunger for God. I was saved at 8 years old, baptized in the Holy Spirit at the tender age of 8, called to preach at 9 years old, called to be an evangelist at 9 years old. Once you have sensed the presence of the mighty God, you have experienced the moving of the Holy Ghost within your heart and life, you will never be the same again. As a child, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10, 11, 12, I would pray almost daily. I would go out into a copse of woods behind our little home, and I had made me an altar. And I sought God so much at that makeshift altar just an old log that the bark had been worn off the tree trunk. During those formative years, the Holy Spirit became so real to me that it seems like many of the things he told me even then are still fresh in my memory. I remember vividly in a little small house belonging to my aunt. It's still there. I saw it the other day. In the small little tiny living room, a couch up against the far wall, my grandmother was there. My mother, if I remember, was there. My aunt was there, and maybe several others in a prayer meeting. And I remember the Spirit of God moving. I was 8 years old. I'm sorry, 9 years old. And I remember there was a word, a prophecy that was given. And in that prophecy, and as well, it moved upon my heart. The Holy Spirit started to call out the countries of the world that he would have this frail flesh to take the gospel to. I've had a thirst for him, a hunger for him all of my life. I learned as a child to follow the leading of the Spirit. He's never led me wrong. I have learned to follow his guidance. Countless times he has told me of things that were coming that looked to be impossible, but they always came to pass. The guiding into all truth. I have labored for his guidance. I have pleaded for his leading. I have sought for his tender voice. And that leading within my life, I think I can say, means more to me than words could ever, ever begin to express. When we go to this, the beginning of the great book of John, the fourth chapter, it tells the story of the water that was drawn from the well. And in that fourth chapter, there is a beautiful application of salvation. Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But he told the woman at the well, if you drink of the water that I shall give, you shall never thirst. That is a picture, a type in your New Testament of the great plan of salvation within one's heart and one's life. When you go on to St. John 7, where Jesus was at the great feast, the last day of the feast, the eighth day of the feast, the Bible said he cried aloud, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I have read that all of my life thinking, I knew he meant the Holy Spirit, but thinking when he said out of his belly, his innermost being, that he was speaking of you and me, but that's really not what he was talking about. When he said out of his belly, he was really referring to himself. Out of Jesus shall flow rivers of living water. Out of Jesus will flow the life-giving stream. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. John himself said he was, John the Baptist. When the water gushed out of the rock in the wilderness, Paul said that rock was Christ. So when he uttered those words, speaking of the Spirit that would come forth from him, Jesus, out of his being, from him shall flow rivers of living water. In a lesser measure, you and I have the same thing. In a lesser measure, we become an extended arm of Christ. In a lesser measure, but the fountainhead is not the church. The fountainhead is the one that owns the church, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to bring you three little points today about the Holy Spirit. In that seventh chapter, he said he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. In the 16th chapter, and the last few hours before his crucifixion, Jesus said more about the Holy Ghost than he did all of the 3.5 years of his previous public ministry put together. I want you to think of that. In the entirety of 3.5 years of public ministry, he said very little about the Spirit, and the reason he didn't say much about the Spirit was because he was here in person with them. And there wasn't much point in saying much about him because he had not yet been glorified. And when he would die on Calvary and apply his blood to the mercy seat in heaven, and then be glorified, then the body, the people, the church, would be fit receptacles of the Holy Ghost. So he said more the last waning hours of his earthly life about the Holy Spirit than he did the entire 3.5 years put together. Now, number one, now this will sound shocking, but it is true. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is more beneficial to you even than the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. I want to say that again a little better. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was more beneficial to the disciples than even was the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. Were Jesus here today in the flesh, he would not have the benefit to us that the Holy Spirit presently has. I'll prove it from the Word. I read it to you from that 16th chapter of the book of St. John. He said it himself. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is better for you that I go away. It is necessary for the church that I go away. What in the world did he mean? If you will notice, in the early church, the book of Acts, there is not one time they lamented the leaving of Jesus Christ. They never once gathered and said, if he was only back. Oh, I wish he would come back here and be with us as he was. They never said that one single time. You know why? Because he told them and he kept his word. He said, I'm going to go away. And I've got to go away. And I will then send the Comforter unto you. If I depart, I will send him unto you. When Jesus was here, he could only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Ghost comes within our hearts and within our lives to stay. Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, no, no. Are you demeaning Jesus Christ? No, no. A million times, a million times, a million times, no. You see, Jesus was local when he was here. But now by the Holy Ghost, it's universal. The Holy Spirit is in my heart, but he's not diminished because he's in my heart. He's in their heart as well. And just because he's in their heart doesn't mean he's not in yours. He's in your heart. And you by watching the television, do not fear thinking that San Diego has it all because he has plenty to spare. He is in your heart and life as well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you catch that? I know some of you watching me by television, you think if Jesus were here personally, how great it would be. Oh, don't misunderstand. When I see him, I'm going to have the greatest jubilee time I've ever had. But until I see him, until I look upon his face, he has given me another comforter, another helper, another one to live within me, to help me, to guide me, to walk with me. And he leads me into all truth, and he gives me power, and he's with me day and night, and he's greater than the devil, he's greater than demons, he's greater than every power of darkness. He is the power of the Holy Ghost. I am a fanatic on the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm a fanatic on the Holy Spirit is because your church isn't going anywhere, sir, without the Holy Spirit. Your Sunday school class is not going anywhere without the Holy Spirit. Your choir is not going anywhere without the Holy Spirit. Your sermons are not going anywhere without the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God within our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying my best to upset some of you. If your church is dead, the Holy Spirit's not there. If your life is empty, the Holy Spirit is not there. Hallelujah. Not there. But if the Holy Spirit lives within and has his way. I was walking about the same place Friday morning that I was walking this afternoon that I told you about praying. And I started, thank the Lord, there were no people there then, but today it seemed to be a lot of folk came out. Started to just have church. And I started singing the little song that you've sung, many of you, many times. He will fill your heart today to overflowing as the Lord commandeth you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your hearts today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and fire. And there's a line, that's all I can remember of it. That's too low. Bring your empty earthen vessels. What's the name of it? Let him go. All of you, I can't hear. One of you. Now let's start all over again. Bring your empty earthen vessels. Cleanse through Jesus' precious blood. Come ye needy one and all. And in human consecration, wait before the throne of God for the Holy Ghost shall fall. He shall fill your hearts today to overflowing as the Lord commandeth you. Bring your vessels. Thank you, Howard. Not a few. He will fill your hearts today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that phrase, bring your empty earthen vessels, it gripped my heart. I am an earthen vessel. This treasure in earthen vessels, Paul said. Frail, stained, flawed, an earthen vessel. But he deigns to cleanse this vessel with his blood and then fill us with the Holy Ghost. Do you know why Jesus saved you? Have you ever thought about it? Why did he save you? Why did God save you? You say, well, to help me to go to heaven. No, he didn't do that. If he had saved you to go to heaven, he'd have drowned you in the baptismal tank. He didn't save you to go to heaven. No, you'll do that, but that's not why he saved you. Did he save you to feel good? What did he save you for? The Bible said he saved you. In the book of Ephesians, Paul said he saved you that you may become an habitation of God through the Spirit. That you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are saved and you haven't gone on and been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have stopped halfway. You'll never do anything for Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost is the one that leads into all truth. Now, I know those are fighting words. I realize what I just said is controversial. And I know people bristle, but I want to make it clear right now. And I want to say it to where no one will have any doubt as to what I'm talking about. Whenever you get saved, you do receive the Spirit. That is true. The Holy Spirit does come into your life when you get saved. You couldn't get saved without Him. However, there is a great difference in being born of the Spirit than being baptized in the Spirit. Two different things. I'm not talking about being born of the Spirit. That happened in St. John 4, the water. I'm talking about being baptized in the Spirit. And when this happens to you, what will be the greatest thing that will take place in your life? Some will say, well, I'll speak in tongues. Oh, yes. And I believe that every single recipient of the Holy Spirit, with no exception, speaks with other tongues when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. So those that are getting angry with me will really have an opportunity to get angry with me. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's strong, I know, but it's the truth. Sit there in front of your television set and smile. But I know what I'm talking about. Because in Acts 2 it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10 it said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them as upon us at the beginning, and they all began to speak with other tongues and prophesy. Acts 19, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we have not so much as even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he laid hands on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Glory to God. I must be honest with you. Why is it that tongues trouble you so much? Peter spoke in tongues. Paul spoke in tongues. Matthew spoke in tongues. James spoke in tongues. Mark spoke in tongues. Luke spoke in tongues. Little Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues. Some of the churches spoke in tongues so much, Paul said, you got to shut up sometime and preach. All right. But that's not the greatest thing that'll happen to you. I speak in tongues every day of my life, but that's not the greatest thing that will happen to you when you get filled with the Spirit. The greatest thing that will happen to you will be the revelation of Jesus Christ that will come to your heart and to your life. I read it to you from St. John 16 today. Jesus said, He, meaning the Spirit, shall glorify me, meaning Himself. That is why He comes in, to make Jesus paramount within your life. He comes in to lift up Jesus within your life. He comes in to glorify Jesus. He comes in to increase Jesus. Not Himself, but Jesus. That's why His ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is more beneficial than even the personal ministry of Jesus would be, because He's with every one of us. He's universal. And His business is to glorify Jesus within us. Number two, it is not the office of the Spirit to originate truth. Say it again. It is not the office of the Holy Spirit to originate truth. He will lead you into all truth, but He will never instigate or originate that truth. Why? Say it again, it's important. He will lead you as a child of God into all truth. He leads you there into truth that has already been originated. But He will never originate that truth Himself. He does it because Jesus Christ is the truth. It's His business to lead you to Jesus Christ, the originator, the instigator of truth. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, and any truth must coincide with the Word. If it doesn't coincide with the Word, it's not truth. All right. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. If men look to the Spirit to give truth, they will mistake their own desires for truth. This is the reason that we're having many charismatic problems today. Any work that enhances the Holy Ghost or the gifts of the Spirit above the Lord Jesus Christ will always end up in fanaticism. I want to say it again. If men look to the Holy Spirit to give truth, they will mistake their own desires for truth. Any work that enhances the Holy Ghost are the gifts of the Spirit above Jesus Christ will always end up in fanaticism. Today we have got hundreds of thousands that are praising a God they no longer pray to. You understand me? The statements are being made today that certain prophecies are equal to the Word of God, even though they contradict the Word of God. We are being told in some circles that they replace the Word of God. You run from that like you would run from a diamondback rattlesnake. I don't care who the preacher is. If he prophesies something that is not in this book is truth because it's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You understand? This word is the same as Jesus Christ. And anybody that speaks anything and somebody says it's not in the word, it contradicts the word. They say, well, what I have supersedes the word. I am pleading with you. You had better run from it. There is nothing that precedes this book. There is nothing that supersedes this book. Nothing. And I want to say something else. God is not giving any more revelation concerning extended word. Now, you didn't understand that. I believe in revelation. I believe God reveals things to people. Almost every day he reveals something to me, but it must line up with that word. And God is not giving any more revelation that supersedes this book. When John closed it out, he closed it out. The Holy Ghost closed it out when he said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. When the Lord comes back from glory and sets his feet on the top of Mount Olivet, the word will then be living among us. Now I'm going to help you to understand it. Let me get down and teach you for about 3 or 4 minutes. We're having people today that are putting gifts, so-called, above the truth, above the word. That which looks like gifts of the Spirit, but are not backed up by lives of holiness and righteousness. Are gifts of a spirit, but not gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit will never glorify your pocketbook. It will glorify Jesus Christ. Gifts of the Spirit will never glorify the flesh. It will glorify Jesus Christ. Gifts of the Spirit will never have you leave this place saying what a great man he is. But gifts of the Spirit will have you leave saying what a great Christ he is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What are you talking about? I'll be a little more clear with you, a little more plain. Somebody said, you're the plainest preacher now I ever heard. When the preacher comes over television and tells you God has just told him, revealed to him, that you are to send him some money, cut him off. God is not going to reveal anything to him about you sending him anything. He may reveal something to you about you sending it, but he'll never reveal it to him. If he does, the gift he has is not of the Holy Spirit. It is of a spirit that's not of God. Am I making sense to you? I think you're understanding me, aren't you? There's nobody in this world that believes in the gifts of the Spirit any more than I do. I believe at one time or the other, the Holy Spirit has moved through me in every single gift there is. I want to say something. This is going to sting a little bit. It's going to hurt a little bit. Are you preachers ready for it? I know they are. I can tell it by the look of their faces. The terrible debacle that has taken place in the eastern part of our United States concerning televangelism. You know what I'm talking about without me being more specific, do you? All right. I cannot for the life of me understand how people that call themselves preachers and supposedly spirit led, filled, directed, couldn't turn that thing on from the day it started and not know something is wrong. I don't understand that. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into that type of foolishness. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into glorification of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to promote Hollywood. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to promote Las Vegas. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to promote Broadway. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to promote Cutty Sark, Jack Daniels, and Seagram 7. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to promote the world. The Holy Spirit will lead you to promote Jesus Christ. If we are led by the Spirit, we will know. There is no preacher in the world that's taken more heat, more venom, more attacks, more misunderstanding than I have. I'm sorry about that. I'm to the place, even though I think I can say without exaggeration, I pray about half the time, but I am somewhat fearful to pray because I'm concerned at what the Lord is going to tell me to say next. I say, Lord, I have to have $3 million a week now. And I've made all the Catholics mad at me. I have made all the denominational people angry with me. I have made all the Pentecostals angry with me. I have made all the charismatics angry with me. Please don't tell me, oh Lord, to make anyone else angry with me. Who's going to support your work? All the psychologists are mad at me. All the rock and rollers are angry with me. But I want to tell you this. The attitude of the leadership has been protect the reputation of the shepherds and the sheep be damned. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? My reputation is nothing. Jesus gave his life not for the shepherds, but for the sheep. That's who he gave his life for. The sheep, the sheep, the sheep. He said a good shepherd leads the sheep home. If I make every preacher in the world angry with me, I am going to still do my very best, as frail and as flawed as this poor, pitiful piece of clay is, to tell you the truth exactly as I see it in this word. I hunger for, I thirst for, I love, I desire the good graces of these brethren. It means a lot to me. I read letters and weep and cry from some preachers, and my heart breaks because of some of the things they say. I want the approval of my peers. I want the fellowship of my preacher peers. But more than that, I want the will of God Almighty. He that has called me to preach, I am to please him who has called me to be a soldier. I am under orders. If any man look to the Spirit to give truth, they will mistake their own desires for truth. Any work that enhances the Holy Ghost or the gifts above Jesus Christ will always end up in fanaticism. Last of all, are you still with me? It is the office of the Spirit to lead the heart to recognize truth. Let me say that again. It is the office of the Spirit to lead the human heart under God to recognize truth when you see it. That's what I mentioned a moment ago. I don't understand it. How can Christians send a queer money? Do you understand me? How can Christians be deceived into sending a drunk money? Do you know the difference in a dove and a rattlesnake? Do you know the difference in a little dove? The room we were in at the hotel, the window comes open and a dove flies in. No, I didn't say the Holy Ghost visited me and told me to tell you to give me $50. But a dove came in. He was a pretty thing. No, I take that back. It wasn't a dove. It was a pigeon. Got to be honest. It was a pigeon. But it was a pretty pigeon. Had white feathers with some gray. Flew into the room, flew, beautiful pigeon. Wasn't like your ordinary pigeon. Beautiful pigeon. Flew all around in the room. And I started to go up to him, try to pet him, but she, I don't know what it was. I would know the difference in that and a Louisiana cottonmouth moccasin. Why? Because I have five senses. I have eyes. I have a nose. I have ears, I have tongue to taste and hands to touch, and a brain that's connected to at times, my wife says. But I know the difference. You do too. Why is it as a Christian you can't tell the phony from the real? And I'm going to say something that's going to hurt. You Baptists can sit back and smile a moment now and relax. You Episcopalians, Lutherans, Methodists, Nazarenes, just sit back a while and relax. This is to the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. Are you ready? Pentecostals and Charismatics will fall for the false quicker than anyone else. Why? Because you think everything that says Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord is of God. You think everything that says, I am of God and I have the anointing and I have the Spirit, you believe it. Don't believe it. That's hard, Jimmy Swaggart. No, it's not hard. The beloved John wrote, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. If they call Jesus Christ Lord and make him supreme within their lives, they won't lead you wrong. Just because you believe in the spirit world and the power of the spirit, do not insult the Holy Spirit, but by believing, everything that comes down the pike. How many hundreds of millions of dollars that desperately is needed for world evangelization is wasted on frivolous, foolish schemes of man? Now you need to hear this. Jesus said, you'll know the doctrine. John said, you will know the doctrine. Let me tell you something. It is the Spirit that leads into truth. We are forgetting that. We are now thinking, one of the reasons God told me to build that Bible school, one of the reasons he touched Ray Trask to be the president of it. He's a missionary. He's not a professional academician. You get me? He's a preacher. He's a minister. He doesn't have a mile of degrees behind his name. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. But in Pentecost, we're getting to the place we believe that this is a total opposite now of what I've been talking about. We believe that we can win the world, touch the world by appealing to their intellect. You can't do that. And I'll prove it to you. Is it possible for you to show a blind man anything? If he's blind, you can put up four fingers in front of his eyes and say how many fingers. He doesn't know. He's blind. You can do handsprings in front of him. He doesn't know you are. He's blind. You can say, look how brilliant I am and how intellectual I am, and I'm going to show you that Jesus is real. You'll never make it. He's blind. He can't see. You've got to have something that goes beneath the exterior into the interior of the heart, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close. I've got to quit. Let me thank you, but let me close with this little statement. I remember when I was a kid, rookie preacher getting started, I had the great privilege of God the Holy Ghost putting me under the preaching and teaching of some of the greatest men of God in the world of that day. They're mostly gone to be with Jesus now, but I remember hearing A.M. Trotter. I'm positive some of you would remember him. He probably did more for this pitiful evangelist than anyone else through Christ, through the Spirit. I heard him make a statement. It must have been 30 years ago. I did not understand it. It's very simple, but I just did not understand it. He said, I still see where I was sitting. I see and feel my reaction. He said, everything we receive, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, divine healing, all of it comes not through the Holy Ghost, but through the cross. Through the cross. I did not know what he was talking about, but I knew he was right because I sensed it in my spirit. I'd like to think now I do know. We're here tonight rejoicing, and hundreds of you are going to walk these aisles to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but all of it comes through the cross. The price he paid at Calvary, the tremendous justice of God that was satisfied there through the cross. Nothing supersedes Jesus Christ and the cross.
Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads, please?